Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bach.
Hey everyone, what's up? Welcome, Tuesday edition, Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. I'm Dan Bach, pleasure to be chatting with you today as we get you set for a Tuesday night in Daily Fantasy. Thanks to FanDuel, they throw their name on this very show each and every day. Check them out today. Three different Fantasy Basketball Championship qualifiers, 25, 535, and 1,065. If you got the bankroll, the 535 might be a nice one for you to look at. Only 60 spots in that one. Obviously, the 1K at a 30 entry max. The $25, $1,300 is the entry size for that. Again, go to Hollywood and have a shot at a pretty solid payday. Also, NHL going again tonight. We've got college basketball happening. So, busy, busy night, including Survivor for you over there on NHL. So, they got a three-day Survivor. You know my thoughts on that. You get lots of forgetful money. I don't want to call it dead money, but forgetful money with the Survivor. So, nice edge to be had in those tournaments. And next week, you're going to be having some big college basketball because next week, obviously, the NBA All-Star break. So a lot of the people who are normally playing NBA bored, what do? They play college basketball. So edge for those of you, that'll be a busy week for for Varnakis for sure, but edge for those of you who do play, but the big headliner over on FanDuel, Before the Madness, I think that's on Wednesday the 17th, $150,000 guaranteed tournament, which is huge by college basketball standards. So certainly if you want to get some cues into that, lots of satellites available. All right, today we'll talk a little bit of NBA basketball for you, but just going to open up talking about what should be a very interesting night in daily fantasy, to say the very least, as both Frontline and 60 Minute Sports will be doing or showing their profiles that they've done on daily fantasy. And you've got the Frontline piece, which is obviously a PBS kind of publication. So look on your local PBS station. You should be able to find it. And they did this in conjunction with the New York Times, which could probably give you an idea of how unexcited I am for this piece. I have no expectations that this is going to paint the industry in anything but a negative light. That's pretty much been the New York Times MO from the very beginning. And with them being a part of, you know, this story, I don't think that's going to change. Despite the tremendous stories that are out there that people often overlook, and I just heard a new one yesterday that I'm going to reach out to her, see if we can't get a podcast interview here in the next week or so. But about a year ago, there was a woman by the name of Pam Miles who won, I believe it was $100,000 at the Playboy Basketball Championship for FanDuel. And she actually qualified for that tournament via a NFL qualifier. And then she thought she qualified for an NFL tournament like next year. And then she's like, whoa, this is basketball. I haven't watched basketball at all. So basically what she did was she went and she learned the game in about a month's time and ended up putting together the winning lineup that took down $100,000 that year. And I know a lot of people, including myself, were amazed by it. Just a great storyline. We don't have very many women who play daily fantasy. So for her to especially jump in, play a sport she didn't know, and beat the elite of the elite, I thought it was great. And then there was a story done on her out there in the local TV station or newspaper that basically since that moment, She has gone on, and obviously wasn't immediately, but she played Daily Fantasy moving forward and realized that she's pretty good at this. And she is actually now has Daily Fantasy as her job. And to me, that is an amazing accomplishment and just goes to show you that anybody can win in this game if you put in the time, put in the effort. And yeah, having a big score like that can help boost your bankroll and get you in a position to do things professionally. Not everybody will become a Daily Fantasy pro, but it just goes to show you that it can happen. And it's not just, the quote-unquote sharks out there. Who's to say that you can't become the next quote-unquote shark out there? And I love that story that I read, and we're going to try and get her on the show here and talk a little bit about it because, that's a perfect experience of, people say new players can't win. False. New players can win. They win all the time. It's just nothing that, the mainstream media ever cares to look at, and it's a shame. And there's lots of really impressive storylines out there about people whose lives have changed because of the better for Daily Fantasy. Of course, I'm sure tonight we'll probably see, experiences of people who were not responsible playing Daily Fantasy. And that's something that as an industry, we've got to, be more cognizant of. But for every person who is not responsible playing Daily Fantasy, how many are responsible and have had contributions to their life that they never thought would have ever existed because of Daily Fantasy. I bet you that number is way higher than anybody even realizes. So just something to think about when you watch these today. So the first one is PBS, and then 60 Minutes Sports. They have a show on Showtime. I believe it's 8 Eastern tonight, and they're got a story on Daily Fantasy. Now, I've known the producer on this project for a while. He was somebody who has kind of been in touch with me literally over the past 6 months, just trying to learn the Daily Fantasy space. And this stems before, the Schneiderman issue that took place out there in October. So this is something that, he wanted to immerse himself in way before all the drama came along. So for that reason alone, I'm more optimistic that these guys are going to tell a more fair story. Again, I don't expect people to do puff pieces here on Daily Fantasy. I just want a fair story done. I'm hopeful and optimistic that's what's going to happen here. With the 60 Minutes piece, but I don't know. We'll have to tune in to watch. So we've got both of these things pretty much happening simultaneously tonight. So set the DVRs, and I'll give you a full, breakdown review of what was said. And the good thing is, if these are negative pieces on Daily Fantasy, at least it came on a good day where you've got major media a little bit more interested in, say, the New Hampshire primaries than the DFS space. So that, I guess, is one thing we've got going for us. But so we've got those two things, and then also the FSWA awards are going to be live on SiriusXM tonight. I know a lot of you out there are like, awards doesn't mean anything to me, but it does mean a lot to the people who put in an incredible amount of time and effort and hope to be recognized. And just people who get a nomination should be proud of that. And hopefully we have a couple of winners here within our space here at RotoGrinders and the Daily Fantasy space in general. That's the one thing that I hope that they would do, kind of maybe a suggestion to the FSWA, is to maybe split up the awards somewhat in terms of Daily Fantasy and seasonal. I know they give out a lot of stuff, but I think that when you are looking at things, the way that people write about Daily Fantasy versus seasonal is very, very different. And I think that, the space has kind of come far enough where, we've got contributors, enough people to justify it. Not just at RotoGrinders. There's a ton of Daily Fantasy content sites out there. So I know the FSTA has started to do that in their awards. I think the FSWA would be well served in not every category necessarily, but, whether the major football, baseball, basketball categories, certainly the NCAA, the college, still baffles me to see, people writing about the NCAA tournament, getting fantasy recognition. That's not really fantasy sports, but it's here nor there. So just my thoughts on that. But good luck to all the finalists out there here tonight. And hopefully we have some hardware at RotoGrinders to take home. So we'll see. Okay, let's get to tonight's games. Not a whole lot for us to go through, only five matchups, so let's get to it. First one on the board for us is Boston and Milwaukee. This checks in at a 208 total. Boston, about a five-point road favorite here against the Bucks, and certainly you can look to the point guard spot. I mean, you've got Isaiah Thomas at 8K, who I think is at a very fair price point, going against Michael Carter-Williams. Thing about MCW is he's going to have a lot of size over Isaiah Thomas. Not that he necessarily is going to take advantage of that, but he could here potentially. And his production lately has been down. You know, Jared Bayless still gets heavy amount of run. In fact, he's been under 30 minutes in four of the last five games. So that makes him squarely a tournament play. Don't even, I think, consider him for cash. I think Thomas, on the flip side, you can, because he's very steady. He's going to score you about 20 points. He's going to grab you about four rebounds. He's going to give you anywhere from five to eight assists. That's kind of what he does. So I think he's a lock for 30 fantasy points, and you know, I think he's fine for cash if you want to go that route. Pretty much off of Marcus Smart here today. His numbers have dropped dramatically after a couple of nice 30 fantasy point games. And Jared Bayless, his minutes are up. I guess he could be a punt at 4,100, but I'd much prefer to take, say, a starter in Patrick Beverley at 500 more. Moving on to the shooting guard position, Chris Middleton, you know, he plays a pile of minutes. I mean, anywhere from, you know, 32 on the low end to 40 on the high end. You like that. The production's kind of leveled off. I just don't see spending $7,300 on Middleton as the way I'm building my lineups today, especially when you can get maybe a Klay Thompson in a much higher scoring game at a good bit cheaper. So probably not the way I'm building my lineups today. Avery Bradley, again, his production is a bit of a roller coaster, but certainly 30 fantasy point upside at 5,700. I think I might prefer Bradley Beal over Avery Bradley, but I'm not going to say you're doing it wrong if you take Bradley over him. It's close for me. So if it saves you 300, gets you someone else you want, I can understand it. At small forward, again, we've got the Alphabet at 7,300 and Antetokounmpo, fair price tag. He, and then you got Crowder and Evan Turner. Pretty much probably going to punt this position. You know, Crowder's a guy I never get right. Never, ever, ever get right. So I'm not going to try, which means he'll probably go for 30 or 40 fantasy points tonight. He's the lowest of the three at 57. I'd probably give him the edge. I mean, this is not a bad matchup, I think, from the DVP side of things. You got Milwaukee checking in at 25th versus this position. So for that reason, you can give him some consideration, but not a guy who's going to be a core target of mine today. Over at power forward, this is kind of a lost cause here. I mean, Sullinger, he's been over 30 in each of the last two games. The minutes, 23 and 24, are nice, not great, but he's producing. But very easily can that drop back to 7, 9, 15, which isn't going to cut it. I think he's okay for the salary at 56. I think I actually prefer him over a Jabari Parker, who's at 4,800, and he's been an absolute dud over the last two games against Utah and Portland. But I don't think I'm punting power forward today. I think that's a spend position for me. Amir Johnson, same thing. You know, just too scattered. He's that Boston front court that I just don't like to mess with. Greg Monroe could be in a good spot here. 7,900 is a reasonable enough price tag. So I think your question is, if you're paying 7,900, are you going him or Dwight Howard? I think at this moment, I'm probably siding more on Dwight Howard tonight against Golden State. Obviously, you know, Boston, an interior that can be had somewhat. DVP-wise, the center position, you've got them ranked 21st against centers. So Greg Monroe, he's pretty steady. He's going to get you 32. I just think tournaments, it's a no-brainer. It's definitely going to be Dwight Howard. You could make the argument in cash games, you're much safer rolling a guy like Greg Monroe over Dwight Howard. I can buy that. Washington against New York. We've got this one at a 207, and New York favored by 2 points in this one. Should be a faster-paced game up for the Knicks, of course. Most games are. John Wall at 10-2. Tough spot for him. I think I'd rather just pay up a little bit more and get Steph Curry today. He's not that much more expensive, only 700 more. He should abuse Jose Calderon tonight in that matchup, but in a game that's paced down for him and one that's, I don't want to say pace up, but it's close to as it can be there for Golden State and Houston, I'm going to go with Steph Curry tonight. Calderon is interesting here at 4,400, over 30 minutes each of the last two games. Guy can score a little bit, do a little bit of everything. I wonder how defensively he's going to match up here with Wall, but they usually find a way to hide him, and they could easily, you know, put him on a wing player, whether it's a, you know, Garrett Temple or Gary Neal, one of those guys when they're in there. But I don't hate him today as a punt option. Do I like Beverly more than him? I think I do. I think as it stands right now, I give the edge to Beverly. At shooting guard, certainly some options for us here on the cheap. We've got Brad Beal we talked about, and he's at 6K. Only played 20 minutes last game against Charlotte. Now, that was a back end of a back-to-back, the third game in four nights, so there was a lot of reasons for him to kind of have a minutes restriction. And he still scored you 27 fantasy points in those 20 minutes. I don't expect that to happen necessarily today. If he is starting, which I expect him to be, I'm playing him today at that 6K price tag. Aaron Aflalo, another guy who has just been locked in 40 minutes, four straight games of 40 minutes. And you got to think, too, four straight games of 40 minutes, and that was a third and four games situation. Has a couple of days to rest. Now, Carmelo plays. It does kind of cut into his production a little bit. But I don't think we write him off entirely here tonight, even if Melo plays. This is a pace-up game, and we know how bad Washington is versus wing players, so I don't mind me some Bradley Beal tonight. At small forward, Carmelo probably going to play here today. Played that last game versus Denver and was just fine at 35 fantasy points. He's okay today. Again, if you're paying up for small forward, he's the guy that you go to, I would think, over Gordon Hayward in that really slow-paced game or Antetokounmpo. Probably prefer Kawhi Leonard, price per point a little bit better than Melo just because he's, 1,600 cheaper. Not sure I'm paying up at that position at this moment, but Carmelo should have a fine game here. Again, wings should be able to eat them up, is Carmelo Anthony. As for Otto Porter at 5,400, nice game last time out against Charlotte, gave you a 28, but four steals, little bit of an anomaly there. You're not going to see that too often. Even the 20 points is eight more than his season average, so he exceeded pretty much everything in that game. And if you look at the five games prior to that, 14, 22, 15, 12, 6, no thanks. So there's a lot of risk there in Otto Porter, I think, today. At power forward, we had Porzingis. His salary is dropping and, of course, comes up with double-doubles over the last two games. So probably we'll all be suckered into him today, and then he'll give us a 5.4 rebound game like we saw against Detroit. Price tag is okay on him. There's no question about it, but you got to reserve him for tournaments. And some of that production was done with Melo on the bench, at least that Memphis game. Last game versus Denver did have Melo out there. I'm still a little bit concerned about him. This matchup's okay. I mean, he's going to have maybe Jared Dudley or Nene, or I don't think Humphreys is quite back. I guess he did practice on Monday. Maybe a chance he does play today. So I don't know. Porzingis, not a top target, certainly in cash games for me. Nobody really is at this power forward position. And then center, I think there's a little bit of interest in Gortat here. You know, the last two games, he's given us double-doubles, and we like him when he gets over 30 minutes. Look at the numbers. They bear out the results. Last 10 games, 35 minutes, 31 fantasy points, 34 minutes, 41, 35 minutes, 36, 37 minutes, 33. Also had a 32 for 27. But then the other games under 30, 28 for 21, 25 for 25, 27 for 33, 29 for 27. So we need him to play 30 minutes. Hopefully he does here today. Price tag is fair at 6,900. I'm okay with him today. He is not a ignore. Robin Lopez had that monster game versus Detroit in Boston, followed up with pretty mediocre games against Memphis and Denver. Probably not a position for me today that I'm going to go cheap at 5,500. San Antonio against Miami, two teams that play really down in pace, but the total is pretty low at 193, but it's not as low as Utah-Dallas, that's for sure. I think we're going to pass on most spots in this game. We could maybe give some consideration to a Danny Green punt at 4,200, just because I think his minutes are going to be up with Ginobili out a little bit. Not looking to Dwayne Wade. Kawhi Leonard, 7,300. I like the price tag, but this isn't the most ideal matchup potentially for him, but he's been certainly playing better. You know, 41, had a 25 against Dallas in just 27 minutes, and a 37 fantasy point game in his last three. So he's underpriced. He's an 8K player. So for that reason, he's on your list. And maybe I shouldn't discount Luol Deng. I mean, this is a guy who is cheap at 4,900. I think could give us a source of salary relief today. And he's not blowing out value, but he's been there. You know, a 26, 23, 30, 29, 27. He's playing a lot of minutes. So I think he's going to be on the floor. The question is, do we dare take a small forward versus San Antonio? Because that's like, you know, you look at your list of rules out there and like you don't take point guards versus Chris Paul and you don't take small forwards versus San Antonio. You just don't do it. But here could be your exception. It's only a 5-game slate. He's cheap. And the real question you have is, you know, can he get you to 25 fantasy points? And he's done that 1, 2, 3, 4. Four out of his last six games, he's reached that. So I think he probably can here today. At power forward, what do we do with LaMarcus Aldridge? Because this guy is now starting to look like the guy we saw out there in Portland. But here's the issue. There's a good chance we might have Tim Duncan back tonight, and we've not seen his production be this high when Tim Duncan is out there on the floor. But here's the deal. I don't think Duncan's going to come in and play 25 or 30 minutes here tonight. I'd be shocked if he went over 20. Guy hasn't played in a long time. So it's an interesting situation here because guy's just been scoring tremendously. But again, look at these matchups. Lakers, it came against New Orleans, it came against Houston, it came against, and even Orlando it came against. Now, Orlando's not a huge pace-up game, but that was a high-scoring game, if I remember correctly. This game versus Miami is a little bit slower. I like Aldridge. I just not 100% sure if I want him over, a Derek Favors today? I mean, here's the problem with Favors. Same price tag as Aldridge, but you've got a guy in a total with a 183.5. That's a really low score, really low total. One of the lowest I think I've seen this year. But Dallas is terrible against power forwards. I mean, there's nobody who should be able to slow down either him or Gobert tonight. So that's a tough, tough question. As of 10 o'clock this morning, I'm still on the Aldridge side of things just based on game flow here. Utah and Dallas could just be way too grinded out of a game for me. And maybe you don't play either of the two. I mean, you could easily go elsewhere for that. But that's a big question I think a lot of people are going to have to answer here today. As for Chris Bosh, no thank you. Not going to go him. He's just, he's playing at like a $6,500 level. So when he gets to that salary, then I'll consider him. No Amari Stoudemire for me as well. David West's role is going to change a good bit. Now we get to the center spot with Hassan Whiteside. Now he missed practice with what they're dubbing a minor ankle injury. But Eric Spoelstra said that Whiteside could, quote, play big minutes Tuesday against the Spurs, which is interesting because he hasn't played big minutes in his last three. Of course, had that little injury, 17, 27, and 17. But two of those games, he went for 40 and 33. I'm reserving him for tournaments only, and I don't fear too much taking bigs against San Antonio. The price is okay, but your cash games, I think you're foolish rolling him out there with Dwight Howard at 7,900 or Greg Monroe. Those guys very much more consistent. Duncan, 5,800 is a nice price, but I just can't trust the minutes we're going to see there on him today. Utah and Dallas, this is maybe your ultimate punt here today. Trey Burke missed that last game with a sickness. We'll see if he plays today. If he doesn't, we've seen Raul Neto play pretty well at near min salary. But again, only if Trey Burke is out, and that's even a big, big if. Yeah, you're getting value in Darren Williams at 5,600, 42 fantasy points last game, but pace of this one just doesn't lend itself to him doing that here tonight. Pretty much off of everybody in this game outside of the bigs. You could consider a Favors, and you could easily consider a Rudy Gobert. I mean, Gobert has been dynamic. Last four games, 34 fantasy points in four of the last five. There you go. Pretty good. And 41-42 against Phoenix and Milwaukee in the last two. Now, again, competition. Phoenix, pretty good against centers, actually. Milwaukee, not so much. Denver didn't do too much, and they usually struggle. And then Chicago, who was absolutely awful. This matchup, again, Zsa, I'm not using him for DFS right now. His numbers have dropped off dramatically. Good price tag at 5,700, but in this matchup, no chance of that. Gobert is just... been getting his since Favors is coming back. So nice price tag on him. Could be a tournament pivot. Still think I'm on Dwight Howard in cash, though, today. Moving on to Houston Golden State. We don't have a line on this one because there's some injury concerns maybe with James Harden. But if I'm going to set a total, this one could easily come in at, say, what, 220 tonight? Both these teams like to go up and down. And that makes, I think, this entire backcourt very interesting. Beverly and Steph Curry. Beverly, he's a good defender, but the numbers don't bear it out as being elite this season against point guards. And Steph Curry, not only is he basically, you know, unguardable, he's pretty good track record here against Houston and Beverly. So at 10-9, I can get behind him. It's just a matter of, you know, how interested or how much they need him to do here. And, you know, 50 fantasy point upside in his sleep if he wants it. So I'm probably playing Steph Curry tonight. And I think Pat Beverly is a guy that you want to play maybe alongside him. I know that last game versus Portland was really ugly at 6.7, but he gave you 26, 22, 30, and 28 in four consecutive games, also a 27 and 24. I think he can do fine here against Steph Curry. I think he's going to play a lot of minutes because they're going to want him defensively on Curry as much as they can. So I think he goes over 30 minutes today, 4,600. He's probably my main point guard punt play today. James Harden, we've got a game time decision for him here. We'll see what that means. I didn't even realize he was banged up, the very least. But certainly upside, historically, maybe not great numbers, I think, against Klay Thompson. And 10-8, it's like you can only really play, I think, today, one 10K guy. Maybe two, but even then it's tough. And I think he's certainly behind Steph Curry tonight. So, it's tough for me to go that route. Klay at 6,900, home game here against James Harden. Again, a guy who leaves a lot to be desired defensively. He'll be a super popular play at 6,900. I can get behind it if he can make it work. Over at small forward, you've got Ariza at 58, who's been better over the last 10 games. He's been 33 or more in four of the last 10, which is pretty good for 5,800. Pace up game there. Harrison Barnes, 4,400. He's not going to blow it out of the water, but probably not going to kill you. I think he's safe for 20 today at that price tag. And then Corey Brewer, I think, is a very interesting punt play. His minutes have been secure over the last pretty much 10 games and gives you mid-20s. Possible production here. A little bit of risk potentially with some teens mixed in there, but he's only 4K in this game. I think he's a fine option. Get to power forward, and I'm going to have a tough time not playing Draymond Green here against Houston. 9,100 is obviously makes him one of the more expensive plays we have, but you've got a Houston team that is really, really bad against the power forward position. Now, he's going to slide over, play some center as well. And they're not much better against centers. 22 DVP-wise, 30th against power forward. I feel like, you know, he's going to have a big game here tonight. He just does everything. He doesn't need to score. And, yeah, I mean, triple-double waiting to happen here tonight. So Draymond Green, one of my favorite plays on this slate. pretty much not touching the power forwards on Houston. And then I've been talking a lot about Dwight Howard, and I got to give him some consideration here. His game logs against Andrew Bogut have been pretty good if you look at it. Last time out, what, 51 fantasy points in 35 minutes. Kind of had a bad game there, but only 23 minutes on the first of the January 21st of last year, but then also had a 35 fantasy point game in 35 minutes, 32 in 30 minutes, 50 in 35 minutes. So Bogut has not been too much of a problem here for Dwight Howard. So I think that he's probably the guy I want. I like the salary coming off a good game against Portland where he went for 14 and 17, which is very reminiscent of what we saw prior to that four-game stint where he got hurt. This guy was putting like 40 spots up night in and night out. So it's going to be a lot of shots taken, a lot of rebounds. Dwight Howard, 7,900 in play for me today. All right, there you go. That's your rundown today for this Tuesday. As always, best of luck in your matchups. And that's going to do it for the show here today. Thanks so much for the listen, the download. You know where to find us, iTunes, Stitcher. Click that subscribe button. Also, YouTube. If you're not subscribed to our YouTube page, get on that. Very easy to do, and we've got so many new and great videos happening here on Grinders. It'll send you a little message when we've got something new happening, but only if you subscribe to it. So certainly do that if you haven't done so already. I'll be back tonight to me and Justin Van Zuiden. You know him as STL Cards, talking about this Tuesday night on Sirius XM. That's from 6 to 7. And we'll be back on the podcast in the morning. Till then, have yourself a great Tuesday night, and we will see ya.
Thanks for listening to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to it on iTunes and Stitcher. And for up-to-the-minute DFS news, please follow us on Twitter at Roto-Grinders.